Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are putting on our detective hats. We're getting into some essential agricultural work to really crack the code on plant nutrition. And we're going to be tackling this huge yield killer that people talk about. It's called pre-symptomatic stress, or, you know, what we often call hidden hungers.
Right, the hidden hunger.
Exactly. We're talking about that period, that really critical 3, maybe 4 week window when a plant, to the naked eye, looks perfectly healthy. It's green. It looks productive.
But it's not. Internally, its whole metabolic system is already starting to struggle. It's facing these nutrient deficiencies or imbalances that you just can't see yet.
And that's the whole game, isn't it? That 3 to 4 week window.
Oh, it's everything. If you miss that window, you're not managing anymore. You've shifted from being proactive to just reacting. You're reacting to a problem that's already, you know, baked into your final yield. Your quality is already taking a hit.
So our mission for this deep dive is to really dissect the two main ways we diagnose this. We have the old guard traditional tissue analysis, which is often reactive.
And then we have the modern approach, the more dynamic plant sap analysis. And we want to understand which one of these truly gives us that functional, that predictive picture we need to get peak performance out of a crop.
Okay, so let's unpack this. I think the human health analogy just works perfectly here. Let's say you go to your doctor. You're not there because you're sick. You're there because you want to maximize your health.
Right. You want to be on top of your game.
Exactly.
And if that doctor just, say, took a hair clipping or a nail clipping, well, what would they get? They'd get a historical record. They'd see what nutrients were present when that tissue was formed maybe months ago.
And that is a perfect parallel for traditional tissue analysis in a plant.
It is. It's static. It measures the total nutrient content that's been locked up inside a dried leaf. It's just a history report, really.
But then, if the doctor takes a blood sample, that's a whole different story.
That's the dynamic approach. That blood sample tells them what's circulating right now. How's your liver function? What's the balance of your electrolytes, your blood sugar in this very moment? And that, for a plant, is plant sap analysis.
So it's the plant's blood test.
It is the plant's immediate blood test, but we have to be really clear about what we're measuring. We are looking at the soluble nutrient solution, the stuff that's actually moving through the xylem and the phloem.
The plant's circulatory system.
Precisely. This is the exact mix of ions and compounds that the plant is actively using for energy, for building proteins, for cell division, all at the very moment you take that sample. It's a truly dynamic, real-time snapshot of its functional health.
And this isn't just a small difference in timing, right? It's a fundamental difference in what the tool is for. One is a postmortem, the other is a diagnostic tool for getting ahead of the problem.
That's the fundamental difference, absolutely. When we're relying on traditional tissue analysis, what do? We take a fully mature leaf, we dry it, we grind it into a powder, and then we measure everything in it.
So it tells you what resources were successfully built into that leaf's structure.
As it was maturing, yes.
And therein lies the biggest drawback. By the time that leaf is fully mature, you sample it, you send it to the lab, the results come back, confirming a deficiency. That plant has probably been struggling for weeks.
For weeks, you're getting confirmation of an impact that is, for that part of the growth cycle, completely irreversible.
You're just reacting to a problem that's already costing you yield.
Exactly. And there's a deeper technical problem with it, too. Because it's static, it has no way to distinguish between nutrients that are actively circulating and available for metabolism and those that are just locked up, chemically bound.
So you could get a high reading. It looks great on paper. But if most of that nutrient is stuck in the cell walls or crystallized, the plant is still starving.
Physiologically starving, yes. Oh. So that tissue analysis gives you very little insight into mobility. You might see a big number for, let's say, manganese.
Right.
But that manganese isn't moving. The plant can't get it to where it needs it most, which is the new growth.
Okay, so let's use that example. Manganese is immobile, right?
A perfect example. So a tissue analysis might show you have sufficient total manganese in an old leaf. But if the uptake from the soil has slowed down recently, maybe due to pH or water logging, the new growth suffers immediately.
Because the old leaf can't share.
It can't. The nutrient is there, but it's chemically locked into the cell structure, often bound to lignin or cellulose. The tissue test just gives you a number. It completely misses the functional traffic jam happening inside the plant.
Okay, and this is where it gets really interesting when we shift to plant sap analysis. Because it's not just measuring content, it's measuring the actual liquid flowing through the plant. What's the key part of the method that makes this such an amazing predictive tool?
The transformation from a good measurement to a predictive tool lies in one thing: comparison sampling.
Okay.
Instead of taking just one standardized leaf, we take samples from both the oldest, most mature leaves and the newest, most actively expanding leaves, the growing points.
Ah, so you're comparing the past against the present, storage versus current delivery.
That's it, exactly. By analyzing the difference in the soluble concentrations, what we call the gradient between the old leaf sap, which shows us storage and recycling, and the new leaf sap, which shows us current soil uptake and growth priorities, we are literally measuring the plant's internal resource management strategy in real time.
And that dynamic comparison, that's what buys you the lead time.
Absolutely. Because we're tracking the actual movement of soluble ions, sap analysis can spot these imbalances, these deficiencies, often 3, sometimes even 4 weeks before you see a single yellow leaf.
That's the critical window for intervention.
That is the window that lets you do proactive course correction. If you see a problem in the flow, you fix it long before the plant has to start cannibalizing itself or shutting down growth at the tip.
I get the idea of soluble versus total, but let's be practical.
Mm-hmm.
How much more reliable is a sap test at catching a truly hidden hunger versus, say, a traditional test that comes back borderline?
Oh, significantly more reliable. Because the traditional test is benchmarked against averages from a lab, the sap test is benchmarked against the plant itself.
Right.
We've seen it time and time again. A tissue analysis comes back for a nutrient like potassium, and it says sufficient. It's right there at the bottom of the range, but it's technically sufficient.
So you think you're okay.
You think you're okay, but the sap analysis on that same plant shows the soluble potassium level in the old leaves is plummeting. It's in a free fall because the plant has already entered a severe scavenging mode to support fruit development. The tissue test completely missed the distress signal.
Because the nutrient was still structurally there, even if it wasn't functionally available.
Exactly. That real-time functional insight is what makes it so reliable. But to really use this, you have to understand what we call the story of new versus old leaves. And that story is all about nutrient mobility.
Right. Mobility is the key to interpretation.
It is the cornerstone. You know, plants are masters of recycling resources. And a nutrient's mobility status simply defines whether the plant can pull it out of old tissue to support new, higher priority growth like flowers or fruit.
So let's get a little technical here. What's the biological mechanism behind this? Why can a plant move something like nitrogen around but not calcium?
It all comes down to how it's bound and what vascular tissue it uses for transport. Mobile nutrients, we're talking about nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, they generally travel in the phloem. That's the tissue that moves sugars and other metabolites around the plant.
The food delivery system.
Right. And these nutrients are usually bound to less stable organic compounds like amino acids for nitrogen, or they're just moving as soluble ions like K plus P. Because they don't form these really strong fixed chemical bonds with the cell structure, the plant can effectively unplug them from one leaf and plug them into the phloem to be moved somewhere else.
The analogy we used was taking ingredients off an old shelf to cook today's meal. They're easy to grab.
Perfect analogy. Now, on the flip side, you have immobile nutrients like calcium and boron. They are primarily transported through the xylem, which is the water transport system. And when they get to their destination, they are immediately locked into structural components.
So they're like the bricks and mortar of the cell.
Especially calcium. It's critical for stabilizing cell membranes and cross-linking pectin in the cell walls. Once it's structurally locked into that cellular matrix, it is incredibly difficult, basically impossible, for the plant to break those bonds and move it again.
So the older leaf becomes a permanent graveyard for those immobile nutrients.
Precisely. Which means if the soil uptake of calcium suddenly drops, the new growth suffers instantly because it has no reserves to draw from. The nutrient is in the plant, but it's chemically cemented into place.
Okay. So let's put this mobility principle into practice with the sap analysis gradient. Let's start with the mobile nutrients. Which ones are we talking about, and what's the big red flag we're looking for in the sap results?
The primary mobile ones we track are nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, the big 3+ magnesium, molybdenum, zinc, sulfur, and copper.
Okay.
And the crucial warning sign, the big red flag for a mobile nutrient deficiency, is a sharp, significant drop in its concentration in the older leaves compared to the newer leaves.
So if my old leaf sap shows a much lower potassium level than my new leaf sap, that's the signal.
That's the signal. It means the plant is aggressively prioritizing the new growth. It's in a state of self-cannibalization. The new leaves are acting as the primary nutrient sink, and the plant is actively dismantling its older parts to fuel the current growth. That difference in concentration, that negative gradient, is the functional proof of the hidden hunger.
And if that scavenging goes on long enough, that's when we finally see the visual symptoms starting on.
The older leaves, that's where they appear first. The classic general yellowing or chlorosis for nitrogen deficiency is a great example. Or the intervenal yellowing with burnt edges for magnesium.
But the whole point is that the gradient in the sap catches this internal breakdown 3 or 4 weeks before that yellowing ever starts.
Exactly. It gives you the time to intervene.
Okay, now let's flip it. Let's talk about the immobile nutrients, the ones locked in place. Calcium, boron, iron, manganese. Since the plant can't recycle them, where does the deficiency signal show up first in that sap gradient?
The signal completely reverses. The deficiency signal for an immobile nutrient is a significantly lower soluble level in the newer leaves compared to the older leaves.
Because the new growth is totally dependent on what's coming up from the roots today.
Totally dependent on the current flow. The old leaves have their historical accumulation, but the new growth is starved first if uptake is insufficient or if there's a transport problem, like, say, low transpiration from high humidity.
Let me just challenge that for a second. If I see low iron in my new leaf sap, does that automatically mean I just need to go apply more iron? Or could something else be going on?
That's a fantastic question, and it's why sap analysis leads to smarter solutions. Low iron in the new sap confirms the functional deficiency. The plant is not getting enough into that new growth.
Okay.
But because iron and manganese deficiencies are so often tied to soil chemistry, especially high pH or waterlogged soils, the sap test is actually telling you that the uptake mechanism is failing. Not necessarily that there isn't enough iron in your soil.
So the low soluble iron in the new leaf sap is like the canary in the coal mine. It's signaling a delivery failure.
Absolutely. And if symptoms do eventually show up, they will always manifest first on the newer leaves or the growing points. That classic fine-veined yellowing in the newest growth is the hallmark of iron or manganese deficiency. Distorted or dead new buds point straight to calcium or boron issues.
So this ability to see the nutrients' movement, that functional gradient, is exactly why sap analysis gives us an insight that tissue testing just, it fundamentally cannot match.
Correct. Traditional analysis can measure the total mass of manganese in that old leaf and say, hey, you're sufficient. But it totally misses the dynamic failure. It misses the fact that zero soluble manganese is making it to the new leaf tip where it's needed for photosynthesis. That difference in functional flow is the diagnostic gold we're mining with sap analysis.
Let's pull this all together and talk about why sap analysis really wins. It revolves around this concept of functional health. Why is measuring the soluble active nutrients so much more predictive than just measuring the total amount?
It really all comes down to separating functional health from just stored mass. It's like our analogy from before. Tissue analysis measures your entire bank account, including assets you can't spend today. Sap analysis measures the cash in your wallet.
The resources that are immediately available for metabolic spending.
Exactly. A high total content reading on a tissue test can be so misleading if those nutrients are chemically tied up, maybe complexed with something in the soil or bound in the leaf tissue itself. They're metabolically inert.
They're there, but they're not doing any work.
Right. For instance, a heavy application of phosphates can sometimes make iron and zinc insoluble in the soil. The plant just can't take them up. A tissue test weeks later might show your total zinc is adequate, but a sap analysis would reveal that the soluble zinc ions, the ones actually doing the work, are critically low. Sap analysis just cuts through that uncertainty of lockup.
And what's really fascinating is how sap analysis brings imbalances and antagonisms to light, these systemic issues where one nutrient actually hurts the function of another one. Tissue tests, since they're just looking at individual numbers, they often miss these interactions completely.
Oh, antagonisms are a huge factor, especially in high-performance crops. They happen when you have two or more ions that are competing for the same limited entry point on a root or for the same transport system inside the plant.
Okay, let's walk through that really common example, the battle between potassium and magnesium.
Absolutely. So potassium, K plus A, and magnesium, Mg2 plus air, are both positively charged cations. If a grower over-applies potassium, maybe they're trying to really push fruit size.
Right.
That high concentration of K plus ions in the soil solution will simply outcompete the Mg2 plus ions for the limited number of uptake channels on the root.
So the root just starts absorbing way too much potassium and not nearly enough magnesium.
Correct. And the sap analysis will show this immediately. You'll see a severely skewed K-to-Mg ratio in the sap. Soluble potassium will be sky high, and it will be actively suppressing the uptake and function of magnesium.
But the traditional tissue test might miss this.
Weeks later, it might show the total mass of both K and Mg is sufficient, because maybe the plant got enough magnesium a long time ago. But the SAP analysis reveals the current problematic ratio that is actively hurting chlorophyll production in the new leaves right now.
So that gradient comparison combined with the ratio analysis, that gives you the context of where the problem is. Is it a root uptake failure or an internal movement failure? Tissue analysis just doesn't have that.
That is the critical difference. That comparison between the new and old leaf sap is the plant's own built-in internal control. It's telling you how that specific plant in your field on this day is managing its resources. And a big deviation in that expected gradient is the most undeniable sign of stress you can get, no matter what some general sufficiency norm says.
You're listening directly to the plant's immediate functional distress call.
You are.
Which brings us to the most valuable part of all this. The actionable insights. Since SAP analysis gives us such a clear early warning, how does that translate into a better, more precise correction strategy, especially with foliar sprays?
That 3 to 4 week lead time is the whole operational advantage. Because we know the precise nature of the stress. Is it a mobile nutrient being scavenged or an immobile one failing to arrive? We can apply these surgical targeted corrections, and foliar applications are so important because they deliver nutrients right to the leaf, bypassing any soil issues, which are often slow to fix.
Okay, let's run through a real-world example. My latest SAP analysis comes back. It shows a deficiency gradient for nitrogen. The N is way down in the old leaves compared to the new leaves. What's the play?
That's the scavenging signal. That tells you the plant has gone into cannibalism because its demand for nitrogen is higher than what the soil can supply right now. You need N, and you need it fast.
So we don't just want to dump a bunch of fertilizer on the soil, which could take days or weeks to get into the plant.
No, exactly. The best tactical move here is a foliar application of a highly available form of nitrogen, something like a low biuria urea or maybe a liquid amino acid complex. The goal is to quickly get those soluble levels back up in the leaves so the plant can stop breaking itself down. You're giving it the ready cash it needs.
Okay, now the immobile example. The analysis shows critically low boron in the new leaf sap. Old leaves look fine.
That means your growing points are starving. Since boron cannot be moved from the old tissue, current uptake is failing. This requires an immediate foliar boron application. You have to deliver it directly to the youngest leaves, the growing tips, where it's needed for new cell walls and pollination.
Soil application would be way too slow.
Way too slow. It would be ineffective for an immediate problem like that. You have to bypass the soil completely to save that new growth.
I remember a story from a client. Their traditional tissue test came back right in the middle of flowering, and it showed potassium was adequate. But their fruit set was just terrible. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've seen this so many times, and I bet when they ran a SAP analysis after the fact, it showed the potassium levels in the older leaves were down, 50% compared to the new ones?
That's it. The plant was pulling everything it had into the developing fruit.
The tissue test showed historical adequacy. The SAP test would have shown the current systemic collapse. A quick foliar spray of a soluble K could have saved the later fruit, but that early set was already lost. SAP analysis would have given them that warning before the first flower aborted.
So this dynamic, responsive approach really changes nutrient management from this annual guessing game into a precise season-long strategy. But even with SAP analysis, we still have to rely on benchmarks or norms. How are those traditional sufficiency ranges even established? And why are they just inherently less reliable than looking at the plant's own internal gradient?
That's a really crucial point because we do still use norms as a general guide, but understanding where they come from highlights all their limitations.
Okay, so let's start with the traditional method for setting those sufficiency ranges.
Traditional tissue norms are built on decades of research. Scientists will run these huge trials, often over many years and in different places. They'll grow a specific crop under controlled conditions, applying different levels of nutrients.
And at a specific growth stage, like 50% bloom, they take a sample.
They do. They collect what's called the most recently fully expanded leaf, the MREL. They dry it, grind it, and measure the total mass of nutrients. Then they correlate those concentrations with which plants produce the best yield.
And that gives them the sufficiency range.
Precisely. A wide band of concentrations that historically was linked to high performance. But the limitation is baked right into the method. These norms are incredibly specific to the cultivar, the growth stage, the climate of the research site, and the exact leaf they sampled.
So if your field conditions or your specific variety of plant are different, the norm might not apply so well.
It might not. They are averages designed to cover a huge range of variables, and they can fail if your situation deviates too much from the original research.
Plant sap analysis norms, though, they're built differently. They incorporate that functional movement component.
They do. SAP norms are developed by analyzing the soluble nutrient concentrations and, this is the critical part, the ratios and gradients within the SAP of exceptionally healthy, high-performing plants. The focus isn't just on having a high quantity. It's on confirming efficient flow and good internal management.
So it's not just we need X parts per million of phosphorus. It's more like we need XTPM of P in the new leaf and no less than, say, 85% of that in the old leaf. Otherwise, the gradient is telling us that scavenging is too high.
Exactly. For a mobile nutrient, the ideal result actually shows slightly higher levels in the new leaf. That confirms efficient transport and a healthy surplus. For an immobile nutrient, it's all about maintaining a consistently high soluble level in that new growth sap. That validates you're getting adequate daily uptake and delivery. The whole analysis is designed to detect a failure in the internal systems.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, why is the difference in nutrient levels between new and old leaves, that gradient, so often more reliable and actionable than just comparing your numbers to a published sufficiency range?
Well, sufficiency ranges are useful guidelines, but they're just averages. They can't possibly account for every unique fluctuating stress on a specific plant in a specific field. Things like localized soil compaction, a sudden heat spike, a few cloudy days that reduce transpiration.
But the plant's internal control system, its gradient, is constantly adjusting to all of those little variables.
Yes. That difference in nutrient levels between the new and old leaves is the ultimate field test. By sampling the same plant and comparing its internal parts, you are using the plant itself as its own internal control. You're minimizing all that external noise and getting a direct functional assessment of how that plant is coping right now under its own unique conditions.
And that lets us move past the guesswork. A sharp, unexpected drop for a mobile nutrient in the old leaves, or a total lack of an immobile one in the new leaves. That's an undeniable, actionable sign of stress, even if the general sufficiency range says the total content is technically acceptable.
You're reading the plant's mood, not just its historical census data.
That's a great way to put it.
And that shift from a historical census to a functional mood is why SAP analysis is so quickly becoming the gold standard, especially for high-value crops where precision and early intervention are just non-negotiable.
This has been an incredibly detailed deep dive. So what does this all mean for the learner? You know, the person listening who wants to optimize their garden or their farm. Let's try to sum up the key takeaways.
I think the main takeaway is that if you want to be proactive, if you want high-level nutrient management, you absolutely need a dynamic tool. SAP analysis gives you a predictive understanding of your plant's health, mainly because it gives you that essential 3 to 4 week lead time.
And it gets that power by looking beyond simple mass and focusing on nutrient movement, on those functional gradients between old and new leaves.
Exactly. And that allows for these incredibly precise targeted corrections, almost always using rapid foliar applications. The corrections are calibrated to specifically address the problem. Is the plant cannibalizing mobile nutrients, or is it failing to deliver immobile ones to the new growth?
So we move away from just generalized feeding programs.
And we move toward maintaining continuous peak metabolic performance throughout the entire growing season.
This brings up a really important question, though. Something to mull over that goes beyond just the immediate fix. So SAP analysis gives us this powerful functional assessment, right? Mm-hmm. And foliar feeding gives us the tactical immediate solution because it bypasses the soil. But if we become dependent on these quick fixes year after year, and we're constantly ignoring the underlying soil health, the chemistry and biology that's causing the bad uptake in the first place, what's the long-term impact on the whole system?
That is the ultimate challenge for the modern grower. It really is. SAP analysis is an indispensable tool for tactical success, for maximizing your immediate yield potential. But you have to use the data it gives you, the constant feedback about uptake failures and antagonisms, not just to apply a quick spray, but to inform your long-term strategy for fixing your soil.
So are you just treating the symptom or are you fixing the root cause?
Exactly. Are you perpetually treating the symptom of poor uptake or are you using that powerful data to fix the fundamental health of your growing medium? It's the difference between a high-tech temporary fix and building truly sustainable, resilient plant health from the ground up.
A really profound thought on the balance between immediate action and long-term stewardship. Thank you for guiding us through this. This was an essential deep dive into plant diagnostics. We hope you feel much more informed and ready to start listening to what your plants are truly telling you.